We're beginning the fifth chapter of the fifth canto, Lord Rishabhdev's teachings to his sons. I'll read the chapter introduction, and then we'll chant the first text. Is that the one that's on the board? Okay. So in this chapter, there is a description of Bhagavad Dharma, religious principles, and devotional service that transcend religious principles for liberation and the mitigation of material misery. It is stated in this chapter that a human being should not work hard like dogs and hogs for sense gratification. The human life is especially meant for the revival of our relationship with the Supreme Lord. And to this end, all kinds of austerities and penances should be accepted. By austere activities, one's heart can be cleansed of material contamination, and as a result, one can be situated on the spiritual platform. To attain this perfection, one has to take shelter of a devotee and serve him. Then the door of liberation will open. Those who are materially attached to women and sense gratification gradually become entangled in material consciousness and suffer the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death. Those who are engaged in the general welfare of all and who are not attached to children and family are called mahatmas. Those who are engaged in sense gratification, who act piously or impiously, cannot understand the purpose of the soul. Therefore, they should approach a highly elevated devotee and accept him as a spiritual master. By his association, one will be able to understand the purpose of life. Under the instruction of such a spiritual master, one can attain devotional service to the Lord, detachment from material things, and tolerance of material misery and distress. One can then see all living entities equally, and one becomes very eager to know about transcendental subject matters. Endeavoring persistently for the satisfaction of Krishna, one becomes detached from wife, children, and home. He is not interested in wasting time. In this way, one becomes self-realized. A person advanced in spiritual knowledge does not engage anyone in material activity, and one who cannot deliver another person, by instructing him in devotional service should not become a spiritual master, father, mother, demigod, or husband. Instructing his 100 sons, Lord Rishabhdev advised them to accept their oldest brother, Bharata, as their guide and Lord, and thereby serve him. Of all living entities, the Brahmanas are the best, and above the Brahmanas, the Vaishnavas are situated in an even better position. Serving a Vaishnava means serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, Shukadev Goswami describes the characteristics of Bharata Maharaj and the sacrificial performances executed by Lord Rishabhdev for the instruction of the general populace. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Rishabha Uvacha Naya Deho Deha Bhaja Nriloke Kashta Kama Arhate Vid Bhuja Ye Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Sattva Shudyet Yasmad Brahma Saukhya Tva Nantam Rishabhau Vacha Nayam deho deha bhajam nirloke Kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam Shudyat yasmad brahma saukhyam tvanantam Rishabhau vacha Nayam deho deha bhajam nirloke Kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam Shudyat yasmad brahma saukhyam tvanantam Rishabha uvacha Nayam deho deha bhajam nirloke Kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam Shudyat yasmad brahma saukhyam tvanantam Kashan Kamanari Tongin Bujam Ye Tapo Divya Putraka Yena Sadvam Yatyana Sadvama Sakam Tanantam Vaishnavis Nayam Deo Deo Bujam Niloke Stand, come on, I'll tell you, Jamie. Shrikayena Sarvam. Rishabhavacha. Lord Rishabhdev said, Na, not. I am this. Deha, body. Deha bhajam, of all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Nriloke, in this world. Kashtan, troublesome. Kaman, sense gratification. Arhate, deserves. Vidpujam, of stool eaters. Yay, which. Tapaha, austerities and penances. Divyam, divine. Putraka, my dear sons. Yena, by which. Satvam, the heart. Shudyet, becomes purified. Yasmat, from which. Brahmasaukyam, spiritual happiness. Tva ananta, tva. Certainly. Anantam, unending. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. Lord Rishabhdev told his sons, My dear boys, of all living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penitent austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness, and which continues forever. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, Lord Rishabhdev tells his sons about the importance of human life. The word deha bhak refers to anyone who accepts a material body, but the living entity who is awarded the human form must act differently from animals. Animals, like the dogs and hogs, enjoy sense gratification by eating stool. After undergoing severe hardships all day, human beings are trying to enjoy themselves at night by eating, drinking, having sex, and sleeping. At the same time, they have to properly defend themselves. However, this is not human civilization. Human life means voluntarily suffering for the advancement of spiritual life. There is, of course, suffering in the lives of animals and plants, which are suffering due to their past misdeeds. However, human beings should voluntarily accept suffering in the form of austerities and penances in order to attain the divine life. After attaining the divine life, one can enjoy happiness eternally. After all, every living entity is trying to enjoy happiness. But as long as one is encaged in the material body, he has to suffer different kinds of misery. A higher sense is present in the human form. We should act according to superior advice in order to attain eternal happiness and go back to Godhead. It is significant in this verse that the government and the natural guardians, the father, should educate subordinates and raise them to Krishna consciousness. Devoid of Krishna consciousness, every living being suffers in this cycle of birth and death perpetually. To relieve them from this bondage and enable them to become blissful and happy, bhakti yoga should be taught. A foolish civilization neglects to teach people how to rise to the platform of bhakti yoga. Without Krishna consciousness, a person is no better than a hog or dog. The instructions of Rishabhdev are very essential at the present moment. People are being educated and trained to work very hard for sense gratification, and there is no sublime aim in life. A man travels to earn his livelihood, leaving home early in the morning, catching a local train, and being packed in a compartment. He has to stand for an hour or two in order to reach his place of business. Then again, he takes a bus to get to the office. At the office, he has to work hard from 9 to 5. Then he takes 2 or 3 hours to return home. After eating, he has sex and goes to sleep. For all this hardship, his only happiness is a little sex. Yanmaitanadi griyamedi sukham hituchcham. Rishabhdev clearly states that human life is not meant for this kind of existence, which is enjoyed even by dogs and hogs. Indeed, dogs and hogs do not have to work so hard for sex. A human being should try to live in a different way and should not try to imitate dogs and hogs. The alternative is mentioned. Human life is meant for tapasya, austerity and penance. By tapasya, one can get out of the material clutches. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, devotional service, his happiness is guaranteed eternally. It's a pretty good guarantee. By taking to bhakti yoga, devotional service, one's existence is purified. The living entity is seeking happiness life after life, but he can make a solution to all of his problems simply by practicing bhakti yoga. Then he immediately becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tektva deham punar janma naiti mameti sarjuna. Quote, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. And this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that it is the duty of the government to educate people about the real purpose of life. Now today, the governments are not doing that. The actual standard by which to judge a government is how many of its citizens transcend this world of birth and death and return home back to Godhead. That's how the actual success of a government can be judged. But today's governments, they are not facilitating that. Instead, they are facilitating education and activities that are sending people down to the lower species of life, down to the lower planets. So the governments, in their education systems, they should be instructing people in this way. But now they're teaching this Darwinian theory of evolution, which is teaching people, yes, you are just another kind of animal, another kind of evolved ape. And what is your purpose in life? Sense gratification. Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita. Explain. Asatyama pratishtam te jagat ahuranishvaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kamahai tukam. You know, Krishna explains, yes, there's a certain type of philosopher who believes that matter is the only thing that exists. There's no God in control of the universe. There's no soul. Matter is just combining in its own way. You know, there's some big bang. The universe comes about by accident. Some of the chemicals get together. They form living things. They evolve. They become apes. The apes become human beings. Consciousness is just chemicals in the brain. So Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, yes, there are philosophers who say that. And then in that chapter, the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes what kind of culture, what kind of life arises from that philosophy. And Krishna says, such people will think that to gratify their senses until death is the main purpose of human existence. Just like Rishabhdev is describing here, the hogs and the dogs. And as Srila Prabhupada, so brilliantly and concisely and uncompromisingly explains in this purport, yes, they live simply for eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And Krishna says, their lives, therefore, will be full of anxiety from beginning to end. Why? Because they'll have millions of material desires they'll never be able to satisfy. Plus, Krishna says, they will create horrible things to destroy the world in their effort to have a civilization like this. So 5,000 years later, we can see, oh, it's all come true. The atheistic philosophy that Krishna describes in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's the dominant philosophy of the world. It's being taught to everyone in the education systems, especially this theory of evolution. Srila Prabhupada did not like the Darwinian theory of evolution. He once said here in Los Angeles The more we kick on Darwin's face, the more we make spiritual advancement. Now, it's not that he disliked Darwin as a person or anything like, but he saw the effect of this philosophy. He saw that it was misguiding, the human civilization. If you tell people they are simply evolved apes, they're simply animals, they will behave like that. And the goals that people set individually and collectively will be determined by that outlook. But here, a different outlook is being recommended. The purpose of human life is not simply to live like some polished ape or monkey life. The purpose of human life is to engage in divine austerities, to po div yum. Not just any austerities. People are suffering anyways. But they have to take up the kinds of austerities, the kinds of voluntary suffering that will help them advance to the real goal of life, going back home, back to Godhead. So those austerities are part of the system of bhakti yoga. There's sadhana bhakti. That means rising early in the morning, restraining the senses, restraining from meat eating, restraining from intoxication, restraining from gambling and illicit sex life, and taking up the duty of spreading this knowledge to others. That's also an austerity. But the result of these austerities, the tapo div yam, is that we attain the real goal of life, brahma saukhyam tvanantam. We become eligible to enjoy real happiness, not the happiness of the hogs or the dogs, which people are striving very hard today to attain. No, there's a higher happiness, brahma saukhyam, divine happiness. So we're being advised here to strive for that, to take up the austerities and penances that will deliver that result. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says in his preface to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the preface is a very important part of a book. It explains why the author wrote the book and what he expects the reader to get out of it. So he said, Srimad Bhagavatam should be introduced also in the schools and colleges. Now, what does he mean by that? Does it mean simply that the books be there in the library? Of course, that's very good if the books are there in the library, sitting there. That should be there. But more importantly, the ideas of the Bhagavatam should be taught in the schools and the universities. Unfortunately, other ideas are now being taught there. And Srila Prabhupada set as one of the goals of his movement replacing those ideas. Yeah, particularly this Darwinian theory of evolution. He said it has destroyed the whole human civilization. It has reduced human civilization to an animal civilization. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted to change that. He said it's the duty of the government to instruct people properly. They're not doing that now. So these instructions of Rishabdev are very important. They're important for each of us individually. We should take this very seriously. We should accept the divine austerities and strive for the real goal of human life, ourselves. And we should also take up the responsibility of spreading this knowledge to others. Now, this may mean instructing others individually in this knowledge, but eventually, it was Srila Prabhupada's desire, hope, and order, really, that this knowledge be communicated systematically, not just to individuals, but to whole countries, the whole worldwide human civilization. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Swadas, and then Rameshwar Prabhu.
We've heard that, in Kali Yuga, everybody's a mudha, fool. And we've also heard that sometimes it's not good to disrupt a foolish person, because if you agitate their mind, they just become more demoniac. So how will we spread this Krishna conscious movement if we're approaching a lot of mudha, fools, who are attracted to all this sense gratification? And if we do, they may get more disturbed and more demoniac.
Preaching has to be done expertly. We don't want to needlessly, disturb the minds of people. However, we also can't ignore our responsibilities and duties. Srila Prabhupada, as we can see here, he's not simply calling people names. He's presenting something rational to them. He's explaining things, just like in the preface to, this very wonderful preface where Srila Prabhupada explains why he's writing this book. He says this knowledge is contained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, says this, which tells about what we're trying to acquaint people with, is the idea that there's some source of everything, jadmadyasya yataha, that is intelligent, that's conscious, that people have a responsibility to that source. So Srila Prabhupada says, this ultimate source is explained rationally and authoritatively in this beautiful Bhagavatam. I mean, so the Bhagavatam is authoritative. That's for sure. It's coming from the highest source of knowledge, so it can be presented authoritatively. This is the absolute truth. But it's also presented rationally, which means it can be presented to people in a rational way. Even the mudhas, you say, they have a certain rationality to them. They can be explained, well, if you come to a cliff and you jump off, you're going to fall down. They have a certain rationality to them. So if we become expert in presenting the conclusions of the Srimad Bhagavatam rationally to people, as well as authoritatively, then it may be possible to present these things without unnecessarily disturbing people. However, sometimes if we begin to present things rationally in society, we begin to present rational reasons, for example, why people shouldn't accept the theory of evolution, why they should accept the view of the origin of life and the purpose of life presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, if there's some systematic opposition to that, then we may have to respond. But so these are very important questions that are we have to meditate upon individually, collectively as a temple, as a whole society. You know, how to do this, how to present our message in an uncompromising way that won't unnecessarily disturb people, that will increase its acceptance, not increase opposition to it, but at the same time responding to whatever opposition there might be.
Hare Krishna. I was going to make a comment, but Savas's question has just filled me with so many thoughts. So I beg your indulgence. The symptom of an advanced devotee is that he has great compassion on the conditioned souls, fallen living entities, and wants to save them. The symptom of an advanced devotee is that he wants to please the Lord and he wants to please his spiritual master. And Lord Chaitanya is ordering us to save the fallen souls and is in anxiety how they'll be saved. And our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, our Sampradaya Acharya, is instructing us that we must go out to every town and village and save everyone. So that's our duty. And Srila Prabhupada wrote that by just endeavoring to do it, by the endeavor alone, we are assured to going back to home, back to Godhead. So one part of this is that the devotee should just, with great faith, as he makes more and more advancement, become a Sankirtan devotee and distribute books, distribute the holy name, and distribute prasadam to millions and millions of souls. And now, as far as disturbing them, this is the antidote to sinful reactions or the reaction from their sinful lives. And so sometimes a baby may not want to take medicine and be kicking and screaming not to take the medicine, but the mature adult knows they have to give that medicine to the sick child, and they just somehow find a way to get the child to take it. They may sweeten it with something so it doesn't taste bitter. But no matter what, we can't be alarmed that they're kicking and screaming, they don't want the medicine, they don't want the medicine. We have to be a little more intelligent and realize you must take this medicine. Because if you just take one book, you just look at the picture of Krishna in one book, That alone can help them to have another human birth instead of going all the way down to the lowest planetary systems, because they began their devotional service and they can resume that in their next life. It's unbelievable the potency that Krishna is in these books, in every word, and it can counteract, or it can be like a wall holding back an ocean of sinful reactions just so they could get another chance in their next life. If we don't distribute prasadam, and the holy name, and if we don't distribute books, there's no saving them. They're all going down to hell. And if we do this, they're saved. At least they get another human birth. So this is the essence of our Sankirtan movement. And the devotees who feel this, they know that Krishna will somehow give them the words, give them the intelligence, so that when they go out and face the conditioned souls, especially the ones that don't want it, Krishna will give us the words how to sweeten it enough to get them to take it. That we become empowered by the order of Krishna and Prabhupada. We don't have to worry about, oh, we can't figure out what to say, so let's not even try. Or, oh, they're so adverse, so let's just get out of their way when they're coming on to us like some demon. No, we have to stay with this process of preaching, and Krishna will just give us the ability. There was a devotee, Omkar, who was speaking last night about how this great demon came up to him and said, "Get out of my way, I'm from hell." And Omkar said, "That's very nice. That's a very nice place." And he just broke the ice. He broke the ice and started showing this demonic person the pictures in a book. And at the end of a few minutes, he had that person in tears. And he took a book. Now, you can't think these things up. They just happen by the power of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada passing through us. It just happens. That's the Sankirtan experience. Hare
Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
I'm from hell.